Please be seated. So I'm going to try to keep my mask off and stay up here so I'm not wandering down there, which also makes John happy because he doesn't have to try to follow me around. So we'll see how this goes.
Put a leash on.
I know. keep me from wandering too far. So our gospel reading from today is one of those gospel readings known as apocalyptic readings, right? It speaks of, or so we think, it speaks of the end of time. And we've been hearing about the end of time for a long, 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 long time, right? We can all probably remember the Mayan calendar that predicted the end of time. It was December something, 2012. Remember, that was back in 2012, and everybody was saying it's going to be the end of time because the Mayan calendar ends then, and they wrote this calendar that went all the way to 2012, and then it ended, so that's the end of time. And there have been billboards out, right, predicting the end of time. It's the end of time, as we know, the doomsday calendar is out there. All these people have been predicting the end of time based on, oftentimes, scripture readings like we read today. And all those little signs that Jesus talks about earthquakes and wars and nations against nations and all those kinds of things. And yet, here we are. Here we are, still, thousands of years later, still waiting and wondering, when is that going to happen? I think that probably the reason that people look for that kind of direction, when is the end coming? Because maybe it helps us feel better. We can kind of plan, right? We know it's coming and we can get ready and we can be all set because it's going to come and we can get our ducks in a row and we're all ready to go. We're all set. That whole Left Behind series, remember that? That get ready, get yourselves ready because it's coming. We can be ready. Maybe it brings some comfort. But I don't think that that's what Mark was really intending, was this roadmap, this timeline of when the end was coming. I think he was trying to give some peace to some people who were a bit freaking out in their time because there was a whole lot of stuff going on in Mark's community. Jesus had been dead for like 40 years by the time this passage was written, right? People had been waiting for his imminent return from the day that he ascended into heaven. And 40 years is a long time to be waiting. There were people that were anxious that they had missed it, that Jesus had already come, and they missed the whole thing. There were people that were anxious because their whole system of the way that they functioned had disappeared because the temple had been destroyed for the second time. And that was more than just a religious center. It was a secular center as well. Things were really shaken up. And then there were all these people that were defecting out of the community, that were following false prophets, false messiahs. And we hear Jesus warn against that, right? As he says, there's going to be people that come and say, I'm he. Don't be fooled. It's not me. That was happening in the community. It was starting to maybe fall apart a little bit. And so Mark uses what he knows about apocalyptic writing and about the sayings of Jesus and his return, and he tries to put it in some context for his folks to give them a little bit of comfort and a little bit of peace. In light of all the earthquakes and wars and nations rising up against nations, and say, take a breath. It's not happening yet. This is just the beginning of the birth pangs. Hang on. Don't worry. It's okay. So what does this say for us today? As here we are still waiting, and most of us probably aren't waiting thinking, is it today? Is it today? Is it today? Because it's been waiting a long time. You can only hold on to that waiting for so long before it's not part of your everyday life anymore, right? But Jesus says two things, I think, that are really, really important for us to hang on to today. One is his comment to his disciple who says, look at this amazing building. Isn't this cool? Isn't this something? And Jesus says, it's a bunch of rocks. And they're going to come tumbling down someday. That is not what's important. That's just stuff. That's just stuff. That is not what's important. Don't be impressed with that. Don't be impressed with stuff, with possessions, with grandeur, with people with money, with big grand homes, with big fancy cars, with all those things that come with that. That is not where your heart needs to be. Those are temporary things, and one day they are going to be dust. Don't spend your energy there. Don't let your heart be pursuing the wrong things, which is also the other thing that is important for us. Because when Jesus says there are going to be false messiahs that say, I am he, and don't be led astray, we might not be led astray by false messiahs in the same way that Jesus' first century followers were, but oh boy, can we be led astray by false messiahs all the time. By that same kind of thing, right? The big grandeur, by wealth and possessions and positions and all the kinds of things that we focus all of our energy and attention and resources and everything that we start to worship about the things that are not important. We start to get led astray and off the path that Jesus calls us to. We get led astray and we forget what is really important and what Jesus has been talking about all his lifelong ministry. We forget about being loving and compassionate and kind and generous and forgiving. We forget about where those things that we have really come from. We start to worship the things instead of the giver of the things. We get lost. Those are two warnings that Jesus gives us in this passage today that still speak to us. He's not promising that life is going to be easy, that the road ahead is going to be simple, that as we're waiting for that time when Jesus returns and God reconciles everything to God's self and we live in a very different place than we live right now. As we work to create that kingdom here, it is not going to be easy. But we can take some comfort and some strength and some solace in the words from our letter to the Hebrews today as we hear, let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds as we travel this journey together. Let us figure out how we do that as a community of faith. How do we lead each other, support each other, encourage each other in ways of love and good deeds, in ways of living more fully into our baptismal covenant. Because in the end, that's what's left standing. In the end, that's what matters. In the end, that is all we can do. Amen.